Hello, welcome to the Meclis Central Asia podcast at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I'm Mohammed Tahir, Director of the Turkmen Service at Radio Free Europe. On Sunday, Kazakhstan is heading to snap parliamentary elections in which six political parties are competing for 98 seats in the 107-member parliament. These early elections are taking place in the light of various challenges, including financial slowdown, increasing crackdown on civic societies and independent media. There is no doubt that the president's Nur Otan party will secure majority of seats, but as the country going through turbulent days, we discuss what are at stake for the authorities and people at large in this election. To discuss the subject, from Kazakhstan, I have Velikhan Kaysarov, prominent political figure, former parliamentarian, who is also competing in this election. Mr. Kaysarov, welcome to the show.
Yes, I am here.
Also from Kazakhstan, Joanna Lilis, Eurasia Net reporter for Central Asia. Joanna, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
From Prague, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog, Kishlak Awazi, is with me, together with Yerzhan Karabekov, journalist with Kazakh service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Welcome, gentlemen, to the show.
Thank you.
So, on Sunday, we have two elections taking place in Kazakhstan, one for the parliament, the other for the local council. What are the parties and who are the candidates competing in this election? Let's start with you, Mr. Kaysarov.
Yeah, you know, we have six political parties that is involved in this election process. But we really can say that only one party is a real opposition party. So really, this election will show which party is really is the people party that defends the interest of population. You know, the reason of this election is, as they say, that Nur Otan, as a governor party, really do not can challenge the economic and social problems that that are in Kazakhstan. And the election should be in the January next year. But the economic problems is so hard, and the social problems is also so hard that Nur Otan really don't really is not sure that they will get in victory in the next election. This is the reason, I think.
Okay, we will go to that, Mr. Kaysarov. Joanna, and maybe you want to jump in here. We know what kind of challenges Kazakhstan is facing today. So looking into the list of candidates, what do you see there? How relevant are they to face the challenge to do what is needed to them? And what are the promises of some of the major parties?
Well, I mean, all the parties standing in the election in Kazakhstan that takes place on Sunday, not unnaturally given the circumstances, are fighting on an anti-crisis manifesto. And they're all saying that they're going to take action to mitigate the effects of this serious economic crisis in Kazakhstan, and particularly on ordinary people. Now, some of the parties, for example, Akshol has a sort of pro-business slant. Others are more left-leaning. Obviously, the Communist People's Party of Kazakhstan, also the Social Democratic Party. But, I mean, what many commentators here in Kazakhstan are saying about that is that actually the manifestos are extremely similar. They may be a little bit more left-leaning here, a little bit more right-leaning here. But I think one of the main points that we should make about the election is it's not really about party political programs, and it's not really about manifestos, because in actual fact, in Kazakhstan, the party political scene is so extremely dominated by President Nazarbayev and his Nur Otan party that, well, many observers believe it's not really party politics in the classic understanding of the term, at least how it's understood in the West. Most of the parties are pro-presidential. There has been no hard-hitting criticism of President Nazarbayev or his ruling party during the campaign. So I think talking about party politics and manifestos can be a bit misleading in this situation.
Bruce, before the discussion here in the Majlis, we were talking about some of the interesting figures in the candidates list. What does that say about the political future of the country and the government is preparedness or readiness to face those challenges?
Well, of course, the Social Democrat Party, Mr. Kaysarov's party, has a lot of well-known and veteran opposition figures. So the population of Kazakhstan will know these people for many years as being, in some ways, critics of the government, but certainly independent thinkers that have their own program. The Nur Otan Party is the one that really has caused me to think a lot ever since they had their nominating Congress at the end of January, because some of the people that they nominated just didn't seem to have any qualifications whatsoever to be running for political office. And in fact, I'm not even sure if they're that interested in being in politics. You know, Gennady Golovkin, for instance, who's a fantastic boxer, but I question whether he has any of the political skills to be a good deputy. And, you know, this, you mentioned at the start of the program that Kazakhstan is going through some really hard times. You would think that you would want the best and brightest minds in the country, people who really understand economics, infrastructure projects, things like that, to be the ones that you were putting forward as to be your candidates. And instead we have, you know, the person, the actor that played Nazarbayev, the young Nazarbayev in a movie about Nazarbayev, and singers and athletes, you know. And this is the ruling party. This is the party that's going to get likely the bulk of the seats in this election on Sunday. And, you know, it's entertaining for the population, I suppose, for now. But I don't see that they have any qualifications to be in the parliament.
Yerjan, does it matter who's in the parliament in Kazakhstan?
Yes, as Juliana said we cannot fully accept a Western approach of political institutions. So many opposition activists and independent journalists in Kazakhstan say that we don't have a real parliament in Kazakhstan, that parliament became just a branch of president office to stamp new laws and so produce empty promises. So maybe that's why a lot of opposition activists and independent activists, they don't rely seriously on this campaign. For example, we have officially registered two opposition parties in Kazakhstan, and government invited them to compete in this campaign. But one opposition party, Azad, they refused to take part in this campaign. Furthermore, they are saying that they wanted to dissolve this party, to close this party formally, but government somehow playing bureaucracy not to this party totally from remove from the justice minister list, because maybe authorities need to show up that they have a lot of opposition parties. But and a second opposition party, OSDP, use this campaign to promote their political agenda. And interesting that they missed previous parliament elections. They just stood away from campaign. So, and when we saw the situation when previous Majlis was dissolving itself, they were claiming that economical crisis and economical so-called difficulties are pressing them to dissolve this Majlis. But now we see in the party lists a lot of non-political figures. For example, as Bruce said, this young actor Nurlan Alimjanov, who played Nazarbayev character in his personality of culture movies. So we see singers. So there is plenty of pessimism on that matter.
Yeah, I want to come to the real issues, obviously, but there are two things taking place on Sunday, right? One is the parliamentary elections. The other is the elections for the local council. Is it what you say?
Yes, maslihat, maslihat, for maslihats.
Right. Yes. And we know, as you say, Yerjan, that the role of parliament is not more than a body to extend Nazarbayev's orders and everything. Mm-hmm. What about the other one? It seems to be more genuine kind of elections. Let's bring maybe here Mr. Kaysarov. What about the local election? Is it any better than the parliamentary election, Mr. Kaysarov?
No, I don't think that there is any differences between parliament, the former parliament elections and former elections in the local parliaments. because the whole governors and all administrators in the domestic places are only the members of the Nuratan party. The member, they are members, they all are members of the ruling party. So, as you know from the news, you maybe know that all peoples, all leaders that self-nominated to the maslihat in the local parliaments, they are all fused by the local administrators. So the reason, I think that the politic is to make the deputies only the members of the ruling party. And I also I wanted to add it to the Yerjan Karabekov. I totally agree with him concerning your questions about the of nominators, nominees. Really, there is no new persons in the Nuratan and the other parties except the OSDP, because the only artists, circus, and singers mostly are represented in the list of the Nuratan.
So what was the basis of their qualifications, Joanna, I mean, in terms of these candidates?
Yes, in terms of the candidates to be on the party list, particularly the Nuratan party list, that Bruce was talking about, I mean, I have to agree that it's quite astonishing that at a time of very serious economic crisis in Kazakhstan that most observers believe is going to be the most serious for nearly 20 years, that the ruling party should stuff its party list with people who are probably not, as Bruce pointed out, well-equipped to tackle a serious economic downturn. And I think what the basis of that is, I mean, it suggests to me that Nuratan is appealing to populism. Mm-hmm. And that suggests to me that Nuratan may be a little bit concerned, although it's obviously going to win this election with a massive landslide, it may be a little bit concerned that the economic crisis will hit, first of all, you know, popularity ratings of the leader or of the party. And secondly, that it will cause people to boycott the polls or just merely abstain in apathy. So I think that's why they've put a lot of celebrities, pop stars, sportsmen, TV presenters on their list. But that certainly, of course, doesn't make them qualified to tackle the crisis. It's also worth mentioning that this is a party-less system, and it doesn't mean that these people will take up places in parliament. So critics might call that a bit of a cynical way of trying to draw voters to the polls.
Joanna, I was reading your Asianet article yesterday, in which I liked one of your statements. Let me quote here that in many democratic systems, you say, holding legislative elections aim at rising inflation, a rapidly depreciating currency, sharp contradiction in government expenditure, and reports of job losses usually spell trouble for a government party, but not in Kazakhstan, you say, Joanna. Mr. Kaysarov, so yes, we know there are problems in terms of tenge devaluation, financial problems, joblessness and everything. What kind of opportunity does it present to opposition party like yours?
You know, I think that all the problems that you have just now said about is really is in Kazakhstan, and this problem is really very, very, very hard. And now the ruling party cannot any power and cannot any economic resources to resolve these problems. And also, I think that the devaluation of tenge is a main result of their economic politics in the last 25 years. And I think that the Nuratan, the ruling party, has decided to share these with opposition party. And I think that I believe that in this election, ruling party will let the opposition leaders to get in this parliament to share their responsibility, and because the I think that the next autumn people will ask the government, will ask the parliament, will ask the president why they couldn't dissolve resolve these problems. And that moment, I think that opposition will be very convenient for the ruling party to share the responsibility with them.
That's interesting. It is also interesting what you say is like the government, the ruling party will let some opposition to come in to the parliament. It sounds like that it depends on the will of the authorities whether to let you come into the parliament or not. That's an interesting point. But I also see some sort of anxiety on behalf of the authorities going forward to this election, for example, like deciding to hold this election a year earlier. Bruce, do you sense that if there is anything like if authorities are in any way concerned about something, about the outcome of the election or something else? What was the reason behind taking this election cycle to 1 year earlier?
Well, there's a couple of things. First, Kazakhstan has rarely held an election on schedule practically since they became independent. These things always end up being early elections for some reason or another. Second, I would agree with Mr. Kaysarov and other people have made the point, too, that the economic situation is not going to get better in the next few months. It's probably going to get worse. So if you're going to hold this election and if Nur-Otan wants to keep its, wants to participate where it's with its level of popularity, such as it is still being fairly high, it's better to do this now than it is to do this a few months down the road. You know, that said, we'll see what happens. Central Asian elections, and not just in Central Asia, but are famous for when there's hard economic times. The government, and we know the government in Kazakhstan, and Joanna has reported on this too, has been spending a lot of money from reserves to keep the tenge rate where it is now. You can expect the elections are going to be this Sunday on March 20th. Now you can expect that a week from today, the rate of the tenge will be much lower than it is right now. And that's probably going to be the trend that's going to happen after that. So that's another reason that you can't keep burning through your reserves to hold the tenge up to keep the people more or less pacified. It's better to get these elections out, and we can expect that there'll be another depreciation in the value of the tenge after that. They couldn't hold that all the way until next January. So that I think, there's a combination of reasons why the Kazakh government wanted to get this done and out of the way as fast as possible. Again, certainly it's their history that they always hold early elections for whatever reason. There's always some reason. But I think they understand, the government understands probably better than the other Central Asian governments, because the Kazakh government is much more economically savvy than the other ones, that the economic times are going to get much worse. And if Nur-Otan is the only one standing there, they're going to take all the blame for that. So better to get it over and done with now.
And again, Mr. Kaysarov was also saying that some of the opposition parties will be let into the parliament so that the outcome of the problem can be shared.
I think there's another side to that, too. I agree 100%. And I've been wondering about that since it started. Also, Kazakhstan's main creditors, I'll say Russia and China, are also experiencing economic difficulties. So Kazakhstan's going to have to look for other sources of outside investment. It is more palatable to Western governments if they are able to show, even superficially, that they have one or two members from the opposition in parliament. It makes it much easier to sell big business deals to their constituents back home.
Mr. Kaysarov, as Bruce was mentioning, that you were also saying that the authorities might let few Kazakh opposition members to come into the parliament. As you were saying, and since you are competing for the election, your aim is to get into the parliament, right? So imagine the day when you get into the parliament with several of your colleagues. What kind of difference you think you can make in the parliament, which is dominated by the ruling party members?
Okay, the first problem of the Kazakhstan is not only the economic problem. The first problem is the corruption. And a lot of cases that are in court that do not go get the finished. So, first of all, we have to arise the corruption problem, I think. And the next one is a problem with the National Bank and the National Fund. You know that in the last months, to rise the level of national tenge currency, the National Bank has spent about $500 million U.S. dollars. It's approximately $470 million the National Bank has spent to fix the national the rate of the national currency. And if we will hold this the similar policy in the future, in 2 or 3 years, there will not be any gold currency funds in the Kazakhstan. So I think that the only two biggest problems in the Kazakhstan to fight with the corruption and to correct the policy of the National Bank, I think.
Right. Okay.
And after that, the national currency will be get the stability, I think.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Kaysarov. Let's take a short break here. When we come back, we will discuss status and nature of opposition parties and their inability to break through in Kazakhstan and their reasons. Let's take a short break. Welcome back to Majlis. Joining me by phone is Wali Khan Kaysarov, prominent political figure, former parliamentarian in Kazakhstan. Also from Kazakhstan, Joanna Lilis, Eurasia Net reporter for Central Asia. In Prague, Bruce Panier, editor of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Central Asia blog called Kishlak Awazi. Also in Prague, Yerjan Karabekov, journalist with Kazakh service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. I'm Mohammed Tahir, director of the Turkmen service at Radio Free Europe. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Majlis again. Mr. Kaysarov, since we have you, I want to start with you again. So what's the best outcome you predict from this election on Sunday in terms of opposition's point of view?
I think that the most places in the parliament, the Nuratan will get as well as always. And after that, I think that the opposition party should be in parliament. And I think that they will get about 15 or 70 places in this parliament. I think so.
Is it what you agree, Yerjan?
Yes, I think that Mr.
15 to 20.
15 to 20, it's possible in Kazakhstan because, first of all, history of modern Kazakhstan, we see that political system under Nazarbayev control is working just mostly to please his authoritarian rule. We see that Nazarbayev is 76 years old almost, and he's on the edge of his political autumn, so there is a debate that who will run Kazakhstan after Nazarbayev for last 10 years. From time to time, Kazakh experts and politicians debate on this matter. And the whole matter of Nazarbayev family ruling tradition is playing this game to dissolve parliaments and to elect parliaments again, to hold even president elections not in the schedule. So for last 20 years, maybe it's this game is continuing, is going on. So the main target of this game to preserve the authoritarian rule of Nazarbayev and to in near future somehow to transit it to somebody in his close circle.
Right, that's obviously understandable from Nazarbayev's point of view. Joanna, do you see the momentum on the ground in which we might see like 15 to 20 opposition members coming to the parliament?
I think it's possible. However, I mean, I have my doubts. I think the political logic of the system that has taken shape over many years in Kazakhstan has been to always entrench and increase authoritarian rule. I mean, we went from having a parliament which had literally one opposition member in it to the parliament before last having no other parties in it, only Nuratan. After that, two parties entered parliament, but it remained a rubber stamp parliament. Yeah. The question of whether an opposition party, by which you mean the Social Democratic Party, will enter parliament, is an interesting one. If any opposition members do end up in parliament, I mean, I think it would appear that would be a signal that some change was coming. But I have serious doubts about whether there is the political will to affect any change and whether the authorities really want to be held to account in Parliament. We've seen no evidence of that. We've also heard more than 5 years of talk about creating a stronger Parliament, and we've seen no evidence of that being borne out or carried to fruition either.
Interesting. Forgive my ignorance about the Kazakh political system, Bruce. In case of what Mr. Kaysarov is saying, like 15 to 20 parliamentarians coming into the Majlis, will it be a breakthrough?
Well, yeah, that would be an understatement. That would be I would be shocked if they actually got that many seats. I don't want to say, you know, downplay the chances of the Social Democrat Party, but when I was saying I could see some opposition members getting into parliament just for show reasons, actually, I was thinking more like two or three or four, maybe at the most. You know, it also comes back to what Joanna said about the government prefers to exert total control over the system of government. But Yerzhan mentioned also that Nazarbayev is in the autumn of his life. And for this reason, too, I can't see that the government would allow the opposition to have that strong a hand in parliament. And even 15 or 20 seats is not that strong, but it's enough that it would be very vocal, because we're in a situation now where we don't know if the president of the country will make it through the next 5 years of this parliament. And that being the case, there are other people in Nazarbayev's inner circle who want to make sure that the transition, once he goes, will be as smooth as possible. And if you have 15 or 20 opposition figures in the parliament, they're going to make a lot of noise, you know, about the transition process. And so that's why I don't think that we would see something like that just yet. Some, for show purposes, to say we do have a legitimate opposition in parliament, but not so many that they could be heard loudly.
Let's see how many members of the opposition gets into the parliament next Monday, right? But Mr. Kaysarov's situation in Kazakhstan is obviously better than some of its neighboring countries like Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, let's say even Tajikistan. But the fact that so far the opposition in Kazakhstan weren't able to make a breakthrough with number of members of the opposition coming to the parliament, what was the reason of failure, I would say here, of Kazakh opposition to make a breakthrough?
I don't think that there is no reason to make a break of the election, because there is no another way to get the parliamentary places. Only revolution, but the people of the Kazakhstan does not support this idea. And there is no another way to get a parliament tribune, and I don't know. There is no way, another way to get the parliament.
I know, but I'm saying is, do you have more freedom compared to Uzbekistan or Turkmenistan to present your platform, slogans, messages, and everything? But the fact that you weren't successful in the country, why is that?
No, you are absolutely right that we have more freedom than in Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, even Uzbekistan. But this is the main reason the main reason of opposition is not only to say about problems. The main aim of opposition is to resolve this, fix this problem. And the only way to fix this problem is to get the government places or to get the parliament in places. So that's why I think that the election is the only legal way to make a changes in the country.
I understand. Joanna, you are in Kazakhstan. You have seen, I believe, several of similar elections in the country, right? So what are the lessons that Kazakh opposition can learn from the past experiences?
Well, that's an interesting question, actually, as is the question of whether, you know, the opposition is itself at fault for its lack of representation in the country, or whether that's more down to official repression of the opposition. I mean, I think, one of the lessons to learn is that infighting will certainly not help the opposition gain political strength, and we've certainly seen a lot of infighting among sometimes egotistical opposition leaders among different and in different parties. However, I have to say that I don't really personally believe that the opposition can't get ahead in Kazakhstan because of its infighting or because it is weak. The main reason that it is weak is because the authorities have not let any kind of viable opposition grow that would allow them to challenge the ruling power, and that the opposition has no access to media, mainstream media, no access to TV, usually, apart from at this election time, and generally has very little recognition on the streets of Kazakhstan. When it's tried to hold rallies and protests and so on, opposition leaders have been subject to arrest. So I would say, you know, that while the opposition has made some very serious mistakes over the years, the main factor preventing it from developing and becoming something that could help a political transition be conducted stably in Kazakhstan is probably resistance from the top.
Interesting. Yerjan, we have to wrap up our discussion, but the final question, Bruce, also Yerjan, to both of you, is under these circumstances, does opposition in Kazakhstan has any future?
Maybe we are captured by some stereotypes in Western political circles that Kazakhstani opposition has more possibilities, is more free than opposition in Turkmenistan or Uzbekistan, but on the other hand, I don't see much difference between authoritarian regimes in Central Asia. There is no big difference between tradition of repressions in Turkmenistan or in Kazakhstan, in Uzbekistan. Difference only in numbers. Uzbekistan and Azerbaijan, for example, has hundreds of political prisoners, tens of them were murdered last year. But in Kazakhstan, we have only some three or four, maybe, political prisoners. So the different human rights organizations count them in the, mostly in similar ways. So there is no big difference between repression style. It's not a big difference how, for example, former dictator of Uganda, Amin, killed his opponents or other dictators. So these circumstances, I think Kazakh opposition still has a perspective for revival despite of political murders 10 years ago. Two leaders were killed, or one of them, so as we see, suicided himself, Zamanbek Nurkadilov and Altunbek Sersembaev. So despite these repressions, these political suicides and killings, I think Kazakh opposition still has a bright future, but only if general population will rise his its civil activism, and civil activists will provide more lively activity, not so proactive like now we see. They are not so proactive now. There are some reasons, but generally I think democratic society in Kazakhstan still has a good potential for future.
Bruce, final words, what do you see, the future?
I'm also going to be optimistic on this. We got to remember that it was just a little more than 10 years ago that the opposition really did have, one, they were in parliament. They were never a majority, of course, but in their 1990s and headed into this century, the Kazakh opposition, there were several parties. They were able to get seats. They re-registered the parties a little more than 10 years ago, and that's when all the trouble started for the opposition. But so Kazakhstan, actually, for about half its history, did have a tradition of having opposition groups around there, and Joanna mentioned earlier that unfortunately sometimes there was infighting, but they were in parliament and in fair numbers too. That hasn't been forgotten. Again, Yerjan mentioned there's two opposition parties in the country, although only one is going to be in the elections on Sunday. And people haven't lost the spirit for that too. Unfortunately, Vladimir Kozlov, for instance, did try to register an opposition party. He's in jail. Unfortunately, his party never got registered, but it shows that there are still people out there who are thinking about this. So Kazakhstan does have something of a tradition of opposition parties in the country. It's been muted in the last few years, but it's certainly not gone. And it's really going to depend on the government, whoever becomes president after Nazarbayev, I think.
Right. Thank you very much, Bruce Panyev, editor of Kishlag Owazi, Central Asia blog at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, for your insightful comments. Also, big thanks goes to Wali Khan Kaysarov, prominent political figure, former parliamentarian in Kazakhstan, who is also competing on Sunday's election. And also from Kazakhstan, Joanna Lilis, Eurasia Net reporter for Central Asia, and my colleague Yerjan Karabekov here in the studio, who is the journalist for the Kazakh service of Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being part of the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is from me, Mohammed Tahir, director of the Turkmen service at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. Bye-bye.